Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 11th of September. This is a pre-recording of what's going to take place at our service on Sunday, the 11th of September. You're very welcome to come and join with us at 11 a.m. if you happen to be in Port Stewart, and we'd love to see you there. Otherwise, you can watch the service live on our website. And watch the live stream, and that begins about 10 to 11 with some music, just to let you know that you're connected. A few announcements for this week in Burnside. First of all, PW begins on Monday at 2 p.m. Notice the new time. Naomi Dudgeon is going to be coming along to talk about her work with the Faith Mission in West Belfast. The Bowling Club continues now and has its AGM on Monday evening at 7. Girls Brigade starts this week for any girls aged 3+, and that begins on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So do tell young girls about that and what's happening. And then our prayer meeting continues on Wednesday morning at 9:30. Do come and join with us for prayer. So those are all of our announcements. Let's worship God together. And today we come to the end of our little series for the summer, Take Another Look. And we're going to take another look at God today. And I want to begin with the song of Moses and Miriam from Exodus chapter 15. And here they are taking a look at God and they are worshipping God. And this is what they say. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. So let's come before God in prayer and let us pray together. O holy God, we come to you today and we worship you and we praise your holy name. Like the prophet Isaiah, we stand in awe of your glory. And we feel tremendously small and polluted by our sin and the sin of our society. But even so, Lord, you touch us with your burning presence, and we are made clean and whole. O God, our Creator, continue to build this household of faith into what you want us to be. O Christ, our Saviour, lead us to do as you will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom, a worship and a service which is ours today as well as tomorrow. O blessed Trinity, fill this place and these people with your presence. For yours is the power and the salvation and the creation, now and always. Amen. Let's read from God's word, and today we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And this is a very well-known vision that Isaiah receives of, and he sees the Lord, and today we're taking another look at God. So I want you, as we read through this, just to imagine the scene. It's not the sort of scene that you can have pictures of, because that would limit our understanding of it. So imagine what you're hearing and listen to what's being said here about Isaiah as he sees the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen. And we pray for God's blessing upon this reading of his word. Today, as we take another look at God, we need to ask ourselves, what do I see when I look at God? What is God like? Do we view him as a cuddly, old, white-haired grandfather? Do we see him as a king on a throne, firing thunderbolts from heaven at anyone who disobeys him? Do we see him as a father who loves us and cares for us? There are so many different views of God that we can easily get the wrong sort of mental image in our heads. If you've got the little booklet, open it up and we'll see what's being said for today. We'll see the question that's being asked and the prayer to be prayed. And in that little booklet, we see the question that we ask ourselves, what am I beginning to see differently about my awareness of God and need of him in my everyday life, and about God's care and the greatness of his love for me? And we have the prayer that I encourage you to pray throughout our time together this morning. God, help me to better appreciate you, your presence with me, and your love towards me. So the first thing that I want to say this morning as we take another look at God is the second commandment, where God tells us, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." So as we take another look at God this morning, we're not told to make any images that we will worship. No representations of God to look at. Nothing to replace God. So, for example, if you were to look around the building of Burnside where we meet and we worship, you'll not find any statues of God. You'll not find any paintings or drawings of God, because God has told us not to use them. And we believe that if we were to have them, they'd just be a pale imitation of who God is. No matter how skilled the artist, there's no way that they could capture God. So whenever we take another look at God, we need to be clear what we are doing today. We are turning to God. We are seeking God. And as we take another look at him, our desire today should be worship. Not of an image, but of God. So if we're not to create an image of God to look upon, what does it mean for us to take another look at God? Because obviously we cannot see him with our eyes. Well, let's meet someone who claims to have seen God. And that is Isaiah, and we read from Isaiah chapter 6, and it's one of the most awe-inspiring passages in the Bible. Here is what happens when someone sees God. And if we take another look, and even just catch a glimpse of God this morning, then this could be our reaction as well as Isaiah's reaction today. So, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, we're given that introduction as to what happened to Isaiah, when it took place, and what he saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And notice what happens here when Isaiah sees God. First of all, Isaiah sees everything around God. He tells us that he has seen God, but he doesn't actually attempt to describe God to us. Instead, he tells us about all the things that are around God. So he tells us about the throne, about the robe that God is wearing. He tells us about the seraphim and their wings and how these six-winged creatures are using their wings to cover their faces and cover their feet and are flying around the throne where God is seated. Isaiah goes on to tell us about the song that is being sung about God. Holy, holy, holy. Three times holy God here. Not just a holy God, but a three times holy. That is how holy he is. So the seraphim are describing God as they worship God. And the word that they use is holy. That's all we're being told. God is different. God is other. God is set apart. He is holy. But again, Isaiah sees everything around God. So he describes the doorposts shaking. And he describes how the temple is filled with smoke. So if we want to see God today, we need to look at all the things around God, as it were. This created world that bears his handiwork. We need to look at Jesus, his son, who was sent here as the image of God for us to see. We need to look at what God is doing in the world, how he is working. And as we see him at work, we catch a little glimpse of who he is. Sometimes people ask, where was God when this particular disaster took place? So, for example, at the moment, we have the question, well, where's God in Pakistan with the floods? And we've had it many times in America. Where was God when this shooting took place, or when the towers came down, or whatever? But often, whenever we ask that question, we look at ourselves and we realize that we have actually excluded God. So it's no surprise that we question, where is he? Because we've done everything we can to push him away and to keep him away. And then we wonder where he is, and we need to go looking for him. So we need to look at what he is doing in the world. Look at what is being done in his name by his followers. Where is God? He is all around us, every day, at work in this world, and we can see him whenever we see what he is doing. Look carefully and you will see what he's doing. Have you ever seen the wind? Of course not. But we have seen the effect of the wind. We can describe the things that are around the wind. We can describe the trees shaking and we see the waves on the sea. Whenever we first came to Burnside, the big story was the storm that had taken place the previous year. No one saw the wind that night of the storm, but they saw the slates being plucked off the tower of the church. They saw them spinning around in the air, and the residents of Ackerton Grange next door spoke of those slates spinning around their upstairs windows. They had seen the wind, but of course they couldn't see the wind. And Isaiah saw God, high and exalted, seated on his throne, his robe filling the place. So he describes everything around. Second thing that we've got to note from Isaiah looking at God is that Isaiah sees his sin. If we see the holy God, then he very quickly exposes our sin. God is light, and his light shines into the darkness, and he exposes everything that is wrong in our lives, everything that is sinful. We cannot be in God's presence for even a moment and keep sin hidden. A trivial example, but if I've got a biscuit, Dougal will be right at my side. He will smell it. He will know that it's there. He will sit and stare at where the biscuit is. It cannot be hidden from him. And if we then take the serious example of our sin, God, whenever we come into God's presence, that sin is there. And it's exposed, and we see it, and we know what has happened. God will spot it. He will draw our attention to it. And when Isaiah saw God, he realized his sin and he cried out, "Woe to me, I cry. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So I urge you to beware today. If we are going to take another look at God today, then we are first of all going to see our sin. And we are going to recoil from God because we know that we just cannot come any closer to him until our sin is dealt with. For Isaiah, he just assumed that this was the end. He was in the holy presence of a holy God and he had sin, and therefore he realized that he could not remain there. And the seraphim goes and takes a burning coal from the altar and touches Isaiah's tongue, and in that moment his sin is dealt with. He is purified. And the sin is taken away because of the sacrifice that is made on the altar. And so today, if we take a look at God and we see our sin clearly in front of us, we come to Jesus and we ask for his forgiveness. And he will forgive our sin. He will take the burning coal from the altar. He will take his blood shed on the cross. And he will wash us whiter than snow and take away our sin. The verse that's in the booklet is John 3:16, which so clearly sums up what God is doing in Jesus Christ to deal with our sin. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So when Isaiah sees God, he sees his sin, but his sin is dealt with. Thirdly then, when Isaiah sees God, he serves God. When Isaiah sees God on the throne, when he realizes that his sin has been forgiven, he then pledges himself to serve God. And that's a consequence of seeing God. Sin will stop us from serving. Sin will block our view of God so that we cannot see clearly. But whenever it is removed and we see clearly the needs of the kingdom, then we respond in service. God asked the question and Isaiah responded. Isaiah says, "Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" And Isaiah responds without hesitation because he has seen God and he knows who God is, and therefore he just simply offers himself in service. "Here am I, send me." If we can see God, we will serve him. It's also worth noticing in this passage that the seraphim also see God. And their response is not just to see him, but to worship him. And because as they were in God's presence, they had to shield themselves from the sight of God. So they put two of their wings over their eyes so that they would be shielded. And they were blocking their view of God, but they sang a song of worship. Because worship is also our response as we see God. Today, if we could only see God as we take another look at him, I think we might do something similar. You ever been watching something on television that you don't want to see? With me, it's blood. I've told you before how squeamish I am around blood. And if there's a medical drama and there happens to be an accident or there's an operation taking place, I cover my eyes with my hands. And I sort of peek out through the gaps into a corner of the screen where there's no blood, and I can safely focus on that until the scene changes and I see that it's changed, and then I can pull my hands away and see clearly again. If we could see God this morning, I think we'd do the same. I think it would be such an awesome sight that we'd put our hands over our eyes, just as the seraphim put their wings over their eyes, because we could not bear to look upon the holy God, because he is so awesome, and we could not stand the sight. We would cover our eyes completely, and we would simply worship. And then we'd worship some more. And then we would keep worshiping, and we would be in no hurry to leave. The seraphim sang the holy, holy, holy song. And they kept singing it just over and over again. And it didn't become old, but it was fresh as they sang it because they were convinced that this was the holy God. There's one thing that amazes me about being at Anfield, where Liverpool play. Every week, the supporters sing the song, the same song. It never changes. They sing, "You'll never walk alone." They never get tired of singing it. They never say, "Well, let's try a different song this week." They just sing it with passion. They don't seem to get bored of it, because there is nowhere else that they would rather be, and there is nothing else that they would rather be doing at that particular moment than singing that song, unified together in that stadium. Yet we can often take God or leave him. We can sometimes sing with little enthusiasm, and we often can leave the same way that we came in. I'm going to use another football illustration. A couple of weeks ago, Linfield were playing in a qualifying game for the Europa League. Now, no Irish league team has ever qualified for the league stages of the cup competition before. It was going to be worth, if they won the game, about £2.5 million. And with 1 minute to go in the game, Linfield were winning. With 30 seconds to go in the game, they were winning. With 30 seconds to go, they actually had a chance to score, which they missed, but they were still winning. But with the last kick of the game, they scored an own goal and then lost a few minutes later on penalty. It was on television, you maybe saw. The fans in Windsor Park were absolutely shocked and devastated. They were in tears. They had been changed by what they saw and what they had experienced. Some of them could hardly get up out of their seats to walk out of the stadium because their emotions had changed so much by what had happened in a football match. They sat with their heads in their hands. Imagine if we were affected like that. Not because of a football match, but because of seeing God and worshipping Him and meeting with Him. So the question this morning is, how are we going to leave this service? Have we met with God? Have we seen God? Are we leaving the same way that we came in, or are we changed? Isaiah saw God and he worshipped Him and he offered himself in service. So today we need to ask, what am I beginning to see differently about my awareness of God and the need of Him in my everyday life, about God's care and the greatness of His love for me? And then let's pray this prayer. God, help me to better appreciate You, Your presence with me, and Your love towards me. And we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.